Supreme Court of the State of South Dakota, the Honorable Chief Justice David Gilbertson presiding, is now in session.
Please be seated. Good morning. The first case for oral argument this morning is First Gold Appellant versus the South Dakota Department of Revenue Appellee. For the appellants, we have Ms. Sandra Hoagland Hansen, an attorney from Sioux Falls, and for the Appellee Department of Revenue, we have Mr. Jared Tiedemann, an attorney, Assistant Attorney General from Pierre. Ms. Hoagland Hansen, you may proceed, and you have 20 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor.
May it please the court, counsel. I, as Your Honor indicated, my name is Sandra Hansen, and I'm here today on behalf of the plaintiffs and the appellants in this case, who are First Gold Hotel, Mineral Palace Hotel, and Four Aces Gaming. All of these establishments are gaming establishments in Deadwood, South Dakota. And the issue presented with Your Honors this morning is a mix of the exciting with the, shall I say, mundane. We're talking about a gaming tax, something very exciting and something even regarded in the law as perhaps not all that exciting. The issue here, though, is whether something called free play may be included in the adjusted gross proceeds of the gaming establishments so as to constitute income which may be taxed. The facts in this case are undisputed and they're relatively simple.
I've got just a historical question. You know, gambling's legal all over South Dakota, but from this, are your clients the only ones appealing, or is this unique to Deadwood?
I believe this is unique to Deadwood, but Your Honor, I honestly can't speak to that. I don't
know. So if I go into a gas station down here, it's got slots, it doesn't apply.
I honestly can't answer that, Your Honor. I don't know if they try to offer free play. I'm just not familiar.
I guess we know who your clients are anyways.
Right, Your Honor. I apologize. I just don't know if it would extend to other establishments that may have slot machines.
Okay.
But each of these...
We're not just talking about slot machines, though, are we? I mean, doesn't this apply to poker games and also to... and blackjack.
Blackjack,
poker games... We're talking about the tax on those, too, aren't we?
Right, Your Honor. And I believe the issue presented with two of my clients, they were only talking about slot machines. One of them was talking about giving out coupons for free play at the tables. I believe it was blackjack. I'm not sure if poker was included. And your honors are clearly pretty familiar with the facts. I don't want to slough or skip them, just so I do a fair overview. Each of them offers free play to attract patrons to their establishments. The free play is given. It's not sold. It is no transferable value in that it's supposed to be used by the person that's given to, and that is controlled at two of these establishments by the fact that they have a card, a plastic card, looks like a debit or a credit card, and another one has a card where it actually accesses a network server. So it's a computer access. Four Aces does use paper coupons, but these have a limit. They have a limited expiration date. They're not to be sold. They can't be just cashed in for, oh, I want a T-shirt from Four Aces instead of being able to play.
Explain that a little more. It's not a paper coupon. It's a, none of these are paper coupons.
And I apologize. There's some confusion just because there's three entities involved here. One of them does give out paper coupons. The other two entities use plastic cards with that magnetic strip so that there's a certain amount of credits on there that may be played. And once that's used up, it's worthless, kind of like your hotel room key is worthless once you're checked out.
But it's a physical thing. It's not a metal chip or something like that.
No, it's either a card or a coupon. It's not a chip. And that's an important distinction, Your Honor, because chip is a defined term in the regulations, and chip is defined, and I, rather than spouting off the whole citation for it, I'll let you know that it is cited in our briefs. It's defined as a non-metal or partly metal representative of value redeemable for cash So there's one distinction. Even if you were to say, perhaps this is in essence a chip is redeemable for cash. These cannot be cashed in. And the other important distinction is that it's issued and sold by a licensee for use at gaming. These free play credits are not sold. Similarly, they aren't, in essence, a token, because, again, a token must be redeemable for cash and sold by the licensee for use at gaming.
But if I get the free play and that allows me to win money, I get the money, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. In essence, it would be like, and I apologize, I'm not that familiar with it, but when you go down, sometimes one of the casinos will have something where they'll offer you a free spin, they'll call it, where you go in and there's this great big, it looks like a wheel, you know, it's attracting people in, and normally you'd have to pay a dollar and you could win, you know, whatever, their progressive jackpot or something. And they came in and said, you know what, here, come in and have a free spin. That's not something that, you know, somebody offers you free spin. That is not a revenue into the casino, even though the gaming establishment does risk that you're going to win and walk out with a bunch of money. You don't risk anything. And that,
just factually going back, that I believe it's the regs talk about metal token or tokens. Now, as I these are played now with cards that are stuck in, right? Does that make any difference?
I don't think it does, Your Honor, and here's the difference. Both chips and tokens are sold. They can be redeemed for cash. They're a money equivalent. Free play is not a money equivalent. Free play just allows you to play, and...
Okay, but does the casino put money on cards? I mean, could you stick a card in and play that in slots without putting in tokens or quarters or whatever? I really don't.
I'm not that familiar, Honor. I believe that at certain machines, depending on the sort of machine and the sort of system they have going, you can store credits on a card and the credits go through the computer server, or you can purchase credits, or you can do it the old-fashioned way and feed in cash. They try to be amenable to the patrons, you know, to draw them in. And here I think the main focus, and I apologize if I'm skipping around too much about the facts, but the main focus is that we're talking about free play, which is another regulatorily defined term, which is in relation to promotional items, the use of a coupon that is issued by a patron to a patron by an establishment for play for which no bet is required. And again, like in a lot of tax cases, the terms used are very important, and they are used very precisely. So free play is that for which no bet is required. A bet is, I emphasize that because that's a statutorily defined term. It's an amount placed as a wager in a game of chance.
But free play is also defined as a coupon, right? You've been saying, we've been talking about coupons. Coupons are things you get for free and you don't pay for. But, you know, in the definition of the blackjack, it specifically includes coupons in gross revenue. It says, plus the, looking at ARSD 2018-2212, it says for blackjack games, gross revenue equals, and it goes on and says several things, and it says, plus face value of any coupons. So that isn't in the other games, the poker game or the slot machine. So should we be making a distinction between blackjack games and the other games because it includes coupons?
I actually would say no, Your Honor, and I would say that if there is some ambiguity or confusion in the regulations, the important thing to do is look to the statutes. Because under the statute, and that circles me back around to the main thrust of the argument, Your Honor, which is that the gaming tax applies to the adjusted gross proceeds of gaming to the casinos. And as Your Honor recognized, the important thing here is gross proceeds essentially constitute the income as a whole into the casino. Adjusted gross proceeds is basically the net income. And so what we're speaking to is there are some accounting regulations about what gets included, what gets dropped out. And there, even, for example, within that same reg, it talks about for poker game, gross revenue equals all money received by the licensee. Here, it's not money. It is a coupon. It would be like if I walk into Hy-Vee and they hand me an in-store coupon that says, if you buy Folgers today, you can get $2 off. The statutes on the sales tax specifically recognize that that $2 off is not a gross receipt to Hy-Vee. Or if I walk in and there's a sale price, that's not a gross receipt. They don't charge the difference there. Here, again, the recognition would be if you're talking about the adjusted gross proceeds to the gaming establishments, this is not any money coming in.
So are you saying then that this regulation on blackjack is in derogation of the statute authorizing it?
If it's read to include free play there, I would think it is in derogation of the statute, quite honestly, Your Honor. And we have focused in this suit so far more on slot machines than on the betting at the tables. And so that hasn't really been thoroughly explored, Your Honor, either in the briefs or an argument. And that's a valid point to bring out. But to the extent that it would attempt to treat free play as income to the casino, I would say it is in derogation of adjusted gross proceeds and also contradictory to the other statutes and how free play is treated.
Going back to your Hy-Vee example, because we've got five heavy-duty gamblers up here.
That's
so you're basically saying adjusted gross income is the cash in the till.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor. Okay. Not counting free play as a coupon or other.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Currency, cash.
It's the money in less the expenses out. Because, you know, in the till, you've got in the initial amount that's in there to pay, make change and such. But that's not income. And these in-store coupons are not treated as income. And here we're saying free play is just it's an attraction. It's a marketing effort to draw patrons to come in the hope that, unlike my mom, who once she went to Deadwood and got a roll of quarters, saved her quarters and didn't put any money in. It's the hope that you will take that free play, and when the $5 or $10 is used up, that you'll think, this is so much fun, I'm going to put 20 of my own dollars in. And then that is income into the gaming establishments. And what Your Honors, if you, I'm not getting to as much as I would like the arguments of the department, which they argued, well, under this one regulation, it's not a deductible event. And I'll go into that more, but what I'd first argue is along the lines of the fact that this isn't income into the casinos, it's not money coming in, the argument of the department actually seeks a double dip because what that regulation that talks about deductibility states is that payouts are not a deductible expense on promotional things like free play. So what the department would say is that if there's a $20 free play to the gaming establishment, that's charged as income to them despite the fact that $20 didn't come in. If there is a $100 win off of that $20, they can't deduct that as an expense. So it truly is a double dip against the gaming establishments there, which cannot be a logical legal reasoning, reading of those statutes, that you can not only not get the it's counted against you when this free play comes in, but when there's a win off of that free play, that's not a deductible event. And that is truly what that statute is talking about. It also talks about other promotional awards, like when, and that would be, again, I'm not a giant gambler either, but I just walking down the streets, there's some big roadster in the window. If somebody wins that, that's a promotional award. Free play is a specifically defined term. Had it been intended to be used in these regulations, that term should have been used. Otherwise, we kind of get a little bit fast and loose when we're talking about promotional awards or other awards, because when you think of even the term award, that is something that's offered as a result of doing something, like when the player gets bonus points for playing, that's not truly free play. Free play is just offered to you. You don't have to play your money. Excuse me, you don't have to put any money of your own in. And so, Your Honors, what we're talking about is something that's not income into the casinos. And it not only makes sense as a common sense matter and a common sense interpretation of what adjusted gross proceeds are, it does make sense in the if you try to read the regulations together in a logical, cohesive scheme, because for slot machines, which has kind of been our focus here, gross revenue, and I apologize, but some of these terms get, they aren't used as carefully as you would hope. The statute speaks to adjusted gross proceeds. The regs often use the term gross revenue. I guess we'll have to assume that those are intended to mean the same thing, because the regs, frankly, don't use adjusted gross proceeds where I could locate it.
But certainly, the regs can't change the rules that the legislature set for them. So we would have to assume, as you say, that they both mean the same thing.
And that makes sense. That would be a sensible reading of the law. But that must be what the regulations intend to cover.
So what governs this case? Is it the regulations or is it the statute? You know, the gross revenue or gross proceeds, I don't think is defined in the statute.
You're right, Your Honor.
So are we to decide this case based solely on the regulations then?
I think that what you have to do, Your Honor, is do what you would normally do in statutory construction, which is, as you know, you first looked, is it a defined term? It is not. So then you look to what's the plain, ordinary meaning of the term. And here we have an agency that has attempted to give some definition to various terms, and courts will generally accord some deference to agencies in their definitions of terms unless that deference is not warranted. Here, what our argument would be is, to the extent those regulations are consistent with the plain meaning of the statutes and the scheme, that deference is owed. To the extent those regulations have been attempted to be applied or construed inconsistent with what makes sense.
But inconsistent with the statute that doesn't define the term, how can you have such a thing? It can't be inconsistent if it's not defined.
Well, I think it can, Your Honor, because there is a general understanding of what gross proceeds must be, even though that in the statute is not a defined term. Proceeds, and I did cite that in my brief, and I won't go through all those again, but it's commonly understood to mean income. There's got to be some revenue, some kind of receipts in. And then there are some of the regs that are consistent with that. And a fair reading of the regs is consistent with that general understanding of what proceeds are, in that, for example, slot machines, they say, and these are terms that aren't necessarily all that familiar to me, but it's essentially the net revenue is going to be the drop less the fills. The drop is everything taken out of the machine, but they also went ahead and defined drop to include, and that's why these chip and token terms are important. Drop is money, chips, and tokens. They didn't include free play in that drop. So that is why our argument is that the regs are actually read consistently with a general understanding of what proceeds must be, in that free play is not even included in the drop.
So you want us to follow that reg, but not follow the one that defines blackjack, which specifically includes the face value of coupons.
Well, to the extent that that is intended to try to encompass a free play coupon, yes, Your Honor, we think that to the extent that there's a blackjack rig that might say that there's a coupon which could be arguably include free play, we think it is inconsistent with the adjusted gross proceeds argument of that the gaming tax applies to adjusted gross proceeds, which should not include something that is not truly money coming into the casino. And that is something that you can kind of get lost in the weeds or not see the forest for the trees when you start looking at these complicated regs. But in the overall scheme, we're talking about an attempted tax on something that is not income into the casinos.
Well, with blackjack, at least you do get to deduct something of the coupons, because they put in the coupons as being part of the gross revenue, but then they let the casinos deduct half the value of the coupon. So, I mean, that's a little bit more ambiguous about whether that we should what we should do with that, according to you, because your argument has much greater strength with respect to the slot machines because they don't let you deduct the payout.
Right. And if I can, I only have about half a minute left, Your Honor, for this first phase, but if I could, I'd also point out one other thing, and that is in the regulations, there's an appendix in the gaming regs to overall 2018 that has a narrative on how to do the accounting function. And in that appendix, it says gross revenues must exclude complementaries. So, I mean, there are certainly various regs that do fall in line with the statute. But to the extent the regs are inconsistent with the true understanding of adjusted gross proceeds, or if they seem to conflict with each other, the court should stick with the statute.
And what reg was that?
It is a narrative. It says Section 535. It's titled, it's from the Rules Governing Limited Gaming, Appendix A to ARSD 20:18. And it's Cashier Section 535 Accounting Function. And, Your Honor, I apologize. That was not in our brief, and I apologize for bringing up new stuff like that.
I think under our rules, how many copies do we need, Shirley? 10?
Five.
We will get. I will get that.
And then to counsel, too, of course.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you,
Ms. Hanson. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Tiedemann, you have 20 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Counsel. This case is the casino's attempt to have it both ways. Currently, under this current system, the casinos are able to treat free play as a wager so that they can take deductions when someone wins pursuant to free play. However, they don't want to treat free play as a wager when it counts for the purposes of the tax. Because free or promotional play is a wager and therefore subject to the tax on gross adjusted proceeds, the circuit court's decision should be affirmed. Now, one thing I want to address really quickly here is the type of relief the casinos are asking for in this case. In their reply brief, that the casinos acknowledged and conceded that they could not obtain a refund as a result of this action. The action is simply one of prospective relief in a declaratory action about the meaning of the statutes and regulations at issue in this case.
Maybe I should have asked her, so you're saying somebody's going to win out of this proceeding and somebody's going to lose. There'll be no remand.
Correct. And there's no refund either to be contemplated. Okay. That's the important thing here.
I think that's been conceded, hasn't it?
Right. And I just wanted to make that sure because it's been argued throughout that a refund was requested. So just putting that out there.
So what is your argument now? Why you're on that point? Are you saying that declaratory action is not appropriate for this kind of a case and so therefore we should simply throw the case out because the only remedy is to seek to file under protest, pay under protest?
I think this court made clear in Metro Life that the Metro Life case that it can issue a declaratory action that's prospective only.
Okay.
And that they can't get the casinos are not entitled to a refund on that action. So understanding that, let's turn to the statutes and regulations at issue in this case. One thing I want to clear up, and this is important, is in their complaint, the casinos only request a declaration about free slot machine play, which is pretty much why the circuit court didn't address a lot of the blackjack and poker and table games. The complaint only asks about slot machine play and free play to that. That's the issue in this case, whether free slot machine play is included in adjusted gross proceeds. Understanding that, the simple question in this case is that. And to get to this answer about whether free slot machine play is included in adjusted gross proceeds, it's important to begin at the start with the statutes. Under SDCL 427B28, the legislature has imposed an 8% tax on the adjusted gross proceeds of gaming. Additionally, the legislature imposed a 1% tax under SDCL 427B28.1 on the gross proceeds of gaming. Now, as has been clear, the legislature has defined adjusted gross proceeds as gross proceeds less cash prizes. But there's no definition in the legislation in statute about what gross proceeds are.
Well, what are the proceeds from a coupon that's given free?
Well, our position is that it is a wager and it's something of value. And so when it goes into the drop, something has to happen to it. It's our position that it can't be taken out or deducted. It's not fill, so it effectively has to be the drop. That because it has value, something goes in.
But I can't cash it in.
You can cash in at the slot machine. You can redeem it at the specific slot machine. It's like a gift card. You walk in with that and you can redeem it at the specific slot machine.
But all you get for it is a play. You get one spin or whatever. That's all you get for it, though.
Correct. It covers the cost.
You can't turn the coupon into the cashier and say, "I don't want to play. I just want the $5 or whatever it is."
Correct.
You can't do that.
Correct. That's absolutely right.
Let me ask you this: the regulations define gross revenue as the drop. They call it the drop, and the drop is defined as money, chips, and tokens, and free play is defined as coupons. How do you reconcile that? Coupons are not included in the drop.
Our position is that it's effectively these can be computerized versions, that the regulations clearly allow for paperless slot machines, which don't take metal chips or coins. And so under our position, it's that anything that goes into the drop, such as free play, which comes from a card, or it doesn't matter the form, that it effectively acts the same way. It's similar to money. The machine treats it the same as money. It acknowledges that a wager has occurred.
So why even talk about coupons? Why would the regulations include the word coupon and leave it out of the definition of drop if everything is considered part of the drop?
That definition, I think, is also important for the blackjack table game area because it discusses coupons there. And it might be in whatever form it might be in. That's really not what matters, is that the basic premise here is that it is free play and that free play then goes into the drop. And by extension, it's a promotional item, which cannot be deducted. And the regulations are clear on that.
I agree with you that it wouldn't make sense to deduct something, but it's like the grocery store analogy, which is more helpful to me. But you know, the grocery store can't deduct the 50-cent coupon you get on the cornflakes. But counting it as revenue is the part that doesn't necessarily seem very logical because there's nothing. You can't. It isn't income.
Right. The difficulty with the coupon analogy, though, that the casinos use is the statutes first have a statute that says this is what gross receipts are, some form of consideration. There's then an exemption specifically carved out for coupons later on. No such exemption exists for this. It's our position that's effectively a form of consideration that goes into the drop. And specifically, the regulations state you can't take it out. So if you can't take it out, it has to, and we know it goes in. The machine recognizes it goes in. Practically, it goes in, so it has to be counted. Something of value simply can't disappear from the machine and stop being counted when the regulations say you can't take it out and deduct it.
But the drop is defined to money, chips, and tokens removed from the drop box.
Correct.
And all of those things you can cash in. You don't have to spend your token. You can go back to the cashier. You can take the chips, the money, and the token. Well, of course, you can just keep the money, but the chips and the tokens, you can go to the cashier and say, I'm done playing. I don't want to spend any more. I don't want to gamble any more money. But you can't do that with the coupons. They're completely different.
That's true, but it's our position. It's effectively a computerized version of one of those things. It's a computerized version of cash. Once I put the cash into the machine, or money, once I put the money into the machine, the machine takes it and decides whether I win or I don't win. And in that way, it's a similar form. It's just in a computerized form that goes in. The machine treats it the same way. It has to treat it the same way. It acknowledges something of value goes in. So understanding the definition of drop as well, it's important to not simply isolate that definition. This court looks at regulations as a whole. And because under ARSD 2018-1826, the regulations clearly spell out that promotional items cannot be deducted from the gross revenue, by extension, that includes free play. Now, the casino's attempt to say that free play somehow is not a promotional item is just simply incorrect. They acknowledge on page 3 of their brief that free play is used to attract patrons in. It's a promotion. Additionally, the affidavits submitted by the three casinos all acknowledge that free play is a promotion. Promotional item is simply an umbrella term that encompasses things like free play or match play. What that means is that we have clear regulations that free play cannot be deducted. It's not fill. Therefore, in the definition of adjusted gross proceeds, it by extension has to be dropped.
Well, if you're trying to tax all promotions, what if they give you a free drink instead of this free play? Does that, they have to pay tax on that too?
No, they just could not deduct that from the gross proceeds. That's the point there. Free play, when they hand it out to the patrons, it's not taxed at that point. The only point it's taxed is when the player uses it and takes advantage of it. That's the distinction there. So, understanding that free play cannot be deducted, it has to be included. And this is the important part here, that free play is something of value. And it's a wager. It goes into the machine, and the machine treats it as a wager, the player treats it as a wager. The casinos treat it as a wager. One of the important parts that the casinos discussed was that they cannot take deductions pursuant to free play for any payouts. But if you read the regulations, promotional play is generally not a deductible event, except pursuant to a wager. So the casinos can deduct payouts pursuant to free play so long as it's the result of a specific wager. And a specific wager requires two sides risking something of value. That's what happens here. The machines recognize it as value. The department recognizes it as value. They want to have it both ways. They want to continue to take deductions when someone wins pursuant to free play so they can take that money out of adjusted gross proceeds. But they don't want it to be taxed. That's not the result. The proper result is that free play constitutes a wager on both sides of the coin. It's treated as money going in and treated as money going out. If a player wins pursuant to free play, if it's a wager under ARSD 1820.02, the casinos can take the deduction. So understanding that point, that free play is treated by the department and the regulations just like money. When you read the regulation, when this court reads the regulations as a whole, it's important to recognize that free play counts towards the drop. It cannot be taken out. It has to therefore be counted. Otherwise, that leads to the logical conclusion that something of value goes into the drop, the value being the cost of the spin and the propensity to be money, and then it somehow just poof, disappears. That's the real fixture in this case, that this can somehow disappear. Reading the regulations as a whole, free play has to be counted. The casinos can't have it both ways. Alternatively, however, if this court determines that the statutes and regulations are ambiguous, deference should be given to the Gaming Commission's interpretation of the rules. This court recently stated in Paul Nelson Farm that whether a statute imposes a tax under a given factual situation is a question of law and thus no deference is given. However, Paul Nelson Farm went further. Later on in the opinion, this court noted that an agency is usually given a reasonable range of informed discretion in the interpretation and application of its own rules.
But if there's an ambiguity on a tax question, we go with the taxpayer, not the government, right?
Correct. If this court decides it's an imposition statute, our position is that the casinos are requesting an exemption, similar to the coupon exemption that they talk about in retailers. There is it's a general imposition on gross adjusted proceeds. They're suggesting that they should be exempt from adjusted gross proceeds. So it's our position this is an exemption question, not an imposition question. And if that's the case, then it's actually construed against the taxpayer and in favor of the taxing entity. So in Paul Nelson Farm, this court further acknowledged that when the languages of the regulations are technical in nature or ambiguous, or it might involve a highly regulated industry, this court should grant deference to the administrative ruling. And the facts indicate here that there has been a commission ruling on this issue. In 2007, Cadillac Jack's Casino, which offered a promotion known as Cadillac Cash, that's very similar to free play, brought an action requesting that their Cadillac Cash not be included in gross adjusted proceeds. The commission ruled that Cadillac Cash first was a promotional award, and that promotional awards are not deductible under the regulations. The commission stated that since no deduction is allowed in the calculation of adjusted gross revenue for any promotional award, the use of Cadillac Cash must be counted in the statistical drop and in the calculation of gaming tax on adjusted gross proceeds, and that all the promotional money must be counted regardless of amounts paid out in jackpots.
It just seems to me that both of you are talking past each other. You're talking about what's deductible, and she's talking about what's includable. And it's, you know, what are we supposed to decide? It seems to me that the decision we're supposed to decide is it includable or not? There doesn't seem to be any argument about whether it's deductible. The argument is it includable?
And our position is that something of value goes into the drop, clearly goes into the drop. It's our position that's the same as money, it's the same as a token, it's the same as a credit. It's a computerized version. Something that has value clearly goes into the drop. And if it can't be taken out or deducted, if it's not a payout, if it's not a fill, it has to be included. The department's position looks at the regulations as a whole. It doesn't isolate the definition of drop and try to say that that's something that doesn't exist. The machine will not take my parking ticket. It will take something of value that it recognizes as something of value. And that's the important distinction here. It takes a while to get there, but it does get there. And the regulations read as a whole lead us to that point. So, additionally, and this is where the deference is important to the Gaming Commission, is there's a rule here. The Gaming Commission has ruled that these awards are to be included in the same process. They got there the same way. That they are to be that free play is to be included in the drop and therefore subject to the tax. Another important point, however, regarding that rule is that since the Commission's ruling in 2007, the legislature has done nothing to change the regulations or the statute. This court stated in Sanford v. Sanford that it's presumed the legislature pays attention to the court's rulings and acts accordingly. It's the department's position that the same presumption should exist here for the commission's decision. It's a highly regulated industry, a highly specialized industry, and that the legislature is presumably aware of the interpretation of the regulations and didn't change the statute accordingly. This is especially important that in 2009, 2 years after the Cadillac Jacks case, the legislature imposed an additional 1% tax on adjusted gross proceeds. The ultimate question here is, what's the intent of the legislature? And for the legislature to increase that tax in light of this decision serves as an implied acknowledgement that free play is included in adjusted gross proceeds and is therefore subject to the tax. Now, the legislature didn't change anything there. And then in 2009, the casinos in this action were part of the Deadwood Gaming Association. They asked the Gaming Commission to change the rules regarding whether free play should be included in adjusted gross proceeds. That request was denied by the Commission. The Commission, and no further action has been taken by the casino since then, nor has there been any further action taken by the legislature. The logic behind the Commission's ruling was, one, it was governed by the Cadillac Jack case, and two, the legislature had just imposed an additional 1% tax on adjusted gross proceeds. The commission determined that it wasn't within their purview to somehow change those rules that the legislature had clearly outlined. They didn't have the authority to all of a sudden rescind this tax that the legislature was getting up to $1.2 million on. So because of that, when we look at the statutes as a whole and the regulations as a whole, the legislative intent is clear. Adjusted gross proceeds includes free play. The casinos cannot have it both ways. Currently, the casinos are able to treat, and this has always been the department's position, free play is a wager. It's treated as money. The casinos are able to deduct payouts pursuant to free play if a patron wins. The free play itself is not deductible, but the payouts can be deductible, and the regulations are clear on that, and they're able to do that. The machine can't tell the difference in practical reality, and the department can't tell the difference. It doesn't treat things any differently. Free play is treated exactly like money. It's a thing of value that goes into the drop. Because it's a thing of value that goes into the drop, something has to happen to it. The regulations are clear that free play cannot be taken out of the drop, cannot be deducted. It's not fill. It's not something added by the casinos. Accordingly, free play has to be drop. And if it's drop, it's included in adjusted gross proceeds and therefore subject to the tax.
I know that, you know, I know tax laws don't have to be logical, and certainly the regulations don't have to be either, but it does seem just a little illogical to say that the casinos' own money that they put into the machine is gross revenue to them, since there's nothing coming from outside the casino that's going into that machine but their own money. But I guess maybe that's the way tax law works. We don't have to think it's logical.
Yeah, that's our position, and our position is that's what the legislature intended, that there was a mutual benefit for the casinos and a mutual benefit for the patron. And so in that regard, it's when something of value goes into the machine, it's treated as gross revenue. And the legislature hasn't created an exemption for these coupons like it has in the retailer industry or it has in the municipal ordinances. It did that there. It didn't do that here. It basically just said, here's the definition of gross receipts or gross revenue or adjusted gross proceeds. And because of that, it's clear the legislature didn't intend an exemption to the rules. And so in that regard, it's treated differently. It's its own specialized industry, and the legislature decided that this is subject to tax. Something of value goes in, something of value is taken out. So because the casinos can't have it both ways, because free play is a wager and is therefore a thing of value going in, is subject to the tax. Accordingly, the circuit court's decision should be affirmed if there are no more questions.
Well, but gross proceeds is not defined at all.
Correct. And we agree with the casinos that gross revenue is effectively a synonym of gross proceeds, that there's no difference between the two for purposes of the analysis, that there's no indication of why a different language was used, but that they're effectively the same. And the statutes use gross revenue, gross proceeds, gross receipts. They seem to be relatively interchangeable terms.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tiedemann.
Thank you.
Ms. Hansen, you have 10 minutes.
As you're coming up, let me just see if we can clear up one thing. Now, Mr. Tiedemann says that the only real issue we have today is the slot machines that your clients did not make a request to have some tax issue dealt with respect to poker and blackjack. Is that your? Do you concede that now?
Yes, Your Honor, that's accurate. Okay. That's what the complaint sought, and other gaming items came up in the discussion at the circuit court, but truly that is the declaratory relief sought in the complaint.
All right, so slot machines are all we're dealing with now.
Right, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Is that all the circuit court's decision addressed then with slots too?
Well, put it this way, it depends on what you're looking at, because the memorandum decision talked about more than simply slot machines. But what we were dealing with was the judgment, which granted summary judgment on the claims brought by the complaint. And it's true that in the complaint, slot machines were what were raised. We did talk about other gaming items at summary judgment stage and summary judgment argument, and the court brought them up. It was a very interested court. So we talked about a lot of things, and things came up in the memorandum decision. But ultimately, the judgment, which granted summary judgment to the department, I would have to say was dealing with the complaint. I mean, to be fair, I would say.
Thank you.
And one more clarification before we get back. Definition of drop, again, is money, chips, and tokens removed from the drop box. But is it clear that you're conceding that if someone uses a card that has credits on it, those credits, which are paid for, the money credits, are part of the income or the gross receipts? If someone puts $20 on a card and then puts the card in the machine and plays that $20, you're not contesting that that's part of the drop?
No, in fact, what those would be akin to a computerized token. And the difference there is that those are sold by the licensee for use there. That's the difference between free play and saying that it's in essence a computerized token is the sale. It's sold to the patron to put in there. So, yeah, it might be in the form of computer credits on a network. It might be in the form of a debit-type card. But it's purchased by the patron for use there. The difference there is that free play is not purchased. It is free.
Where do you tie that into the regulations then? The word sale or purchase or...
That's in the drop, the chip and token definitions, Your Honor, which are... I apologize. I left that back at the table. 20:18:20:01 defines chip and token, and both of those terms are defined to include... They're something representative of value, redeemable for cash, which is, again, different than free play as well, which is not redeemable for cash. Unless you win, then you can get your payout. Issued and sold by a licensee for use at gaming. Free play is not redeemable for cash, nor is it sold. And Your Honors, the department repeatedly asserts that free play is a wager, that free play is a wager for money. That is actually inconsistent with the statutes and its own regulations. Free play is defined as play for which no bet is required. The term bet is statutorily defined as at 42-7B-4 sub 2, bet is an amount placed as a wager in a game of chance. And remember, a free play is not a bet, but a bet is an amount placed as a wager. The regulations define wager at, and again, this is 20:18:22:01 sub 5. Wager is defined as a sum of money or thing of value risked on an uncertain occurrence. So bet and wager are defined to include each other. Free play is defined as play for which no bet is required. So free play can't be a wager. And that actually is consistent with another of the regulations we spoke of in the briefs, and I won't get too much into that argument unless Your Honors would like to. That is the one that speaks to whether free play can be deducted when they're talking about a deduction of payouts. It's 20:18:20:02:01. That one says you can't deduct payouts made pursuant to a promotion except for money, prizes, tokens paid at face value as a result of a specific wager. It goes on to say a specific wager requires two or more persons to stake something of value on an event, the outcome of which is uncertain. If only one party risks something of value, there is no wager. Wager requires not only the gaming establishment to have a risk. When you play a coupon that you've spent $10 on, you're risking your $10, and the casino's risk is that you'll win whatever, $100. If you are given a $10 coupon that you can use or nobody else can use and it goes in the garbage, the only one risking anything is the casino. And that is consistent. So these regulations truly aren't inconsistent or ambiguous. They dovetail along with the idea that adjusted gross proceeds, if you circle all the way back to that, still the overriding consideration is that gross proceeds must represent proceeds, money, income into the casino, not this illusory idea that if we give you a coupon, that is somehow income to us. And that's truly, when it comes down to, Your Honor had brought up our tax statutes, logical. Well, actually, yes, but it's like reading insurance policies. They don't seem logical, but you must read them, and if you parse it out, it does end up being logical in that the tax can apply to gross proceeds, which is income to the casinos, and it's adjusted so as to be net income. And if you read the regulations, they actually do dovetail for that. So that gross revenue is drop less filled. Drop is the gross revenue. It is money, chips, and tokens. In other words, money that's brought in, chips and tokens are sold. Free play is not even included there, which recognizes that free play is not a part of the overall gross income to the casino, let alone the adjusted. And then I'm just trying to hit some other arguments that were brought up. The department's focus on deduction versus imposition is actually flipping it backwards. Because when you talk about tax, before you ever get to a deductions, you look at, is something includable in the first instance? That's where you start. And that's why the statutes are to be read in favor of the taxpayer and interpreted in that fashion, because imposition statutes are so interpreted. Exemption statutes are a different beast entirely. And we are talking about an imposition statute, SDCL 42-7B-28 talks about, it uses the word imposed. Hereby is imposed an 8% gaming tax on the adjusted gross proceeds. It is an imposition statute. It's not exemption. And Your Honors have seen exemption statutes. Those are different. They say so-and-so are specifically exempted from or excluded from. We're not talking about those types of statutes. And in fact, the only time that even comes up is when they talk about payouts not being deductible, which is truly a bit of a red herring, quite honestly, Your Honors. We are talking about imposition because that is the threshold question. Again, the department continues to assert that free play is a wager, that free play is the same thing as money. It isn't, and that's the distinction. It's actually even different than the roll of quarters that they gave my mom 30 years ago to come to the casinos and gamble, because that is money. And she could go buy a pop with it or a candy bar, and she could spend it elsewhere. Free play isn't even that. It's not giving somebody a $5 bill and hoping that they'll come and spend it at the casino. It is just saying it's like a literally like a Hy-V in-store coupon. And it's true that in the sales tax context, there's a statute that specifically addresses that, but that's because it does make sense that it's not income into the casino, and that is the overriding feature that should be kept in mind in this case, is that adjusted gross proceeds, even though not defined, proceeds must mean some sort of income, some sort of receipt, not the essentially in-store coupon that's offered or a sale, for lack of a better term. You can, if you come and gamble, we'll give you $2 off of a $10 bet. Here's, you know, you can only pay $8 and you get to gamble $10.
Well, I'll bet your time is up.
You're right, Your Honor, and I want to thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Ms. Hanson.
Thank you very much.